today on Real Radio.
The bottom line is love. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You and I need God's love. We need love from one another. And the hallmark of the Christian church is love. Very important.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Live, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 9 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul had a passion for love, and his love for the church called out to them to do exactly the same. Love is the contrast of immorality. The more the church walks in love, the more the evidence of God's divine love will show in the believer's life. We can become the bridge between God and man by painting a true image of God's love to this world. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that love always makes the first move. Strong and deep friendships come from treating others as God treats us. Spending time with the Lord because of our love for Him, and not just because of our duty to Him, demonstrates a life full of love and devotion. Now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John chapter 9, verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him, the Father who has sent me, while it is yet day, because night is coming when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I have no problem with that. I'm glad He said that. What I have a problem with is what He said in Matthew 5:14. He says, now you are the light of the world. I have no problem with Jesus saying He's the light of the world. Then He turns to the church and He says, you are the light of the world. And people, how's your little light shining? Gonna let it shine, 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 you know? Hide it under a bushel? No. The little song goes, right? And let it shine. Jesus says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. But we're living in the most dangerous, the most terrible times. And Jesus is asking us to shine our light like never before. And so powerful is the reality of what Jesus has said concerning this that in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, after Jesus had been taken up into heaven, the scripture says there, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that is the world, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled because they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that great? Doesn't matter your educational background, doesn't matter your feats in ministry. Are you spending time with Jesus? If you are, it's going to show in how you live your life. And if this church walks in the Word of God, it's going to show. Can't hide it. It's going to happen. So this morning, we're going to look at a few things, how a church ought to live. And it says in verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Practical stuff. Verse 9 on our first point, you ought to jot this down. How a church ought to live is with a passion to love. This is very important. With a passion to love. Guys, I don't care how big your biceps are or how big your money, your account might be. I don't care how big your car is. I don't care how macho you think you ought to be. That's your thing. Deal with it. The bottom line is love. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You and I need God's love. We need love from one another. And the hallmark of the Christian church is love. Very important. So the first thing we want to see this morning is that if we are a church who's alive, it will be evident by love. And I got to tell you right now, I mean this. If you're not being loved in this church, I first of all want to know about it. And then secondly of all, maybe I can help you go to a church where you will be loved. I have no protectionary attitude concerning this particular body. I mean that. If you find a place where we're better loved by God and God's people, let me know. I want to go there. Love is the hallmark of God's work among God's people. But if you're not being ministered to here in love by the ministry staff of this church, either by staff that's paid or by staff that's volunteer, listen, I want to know. And if you're not getting love from me, I want to know, because I need to be rebuked. I need to be exhorted and encouraged to show the love of God. Jack, why are you so hot on this thing? Because the world out there is sick, dying, and polluted, and it's going under. And the darkness is like never before. And so we need to be showing all the more love. So a church ought to be a church that's marked with God's love. It ought to be stark raving, absolute, full, abandoned love toward God. I don't know what stark raving means. Do you know what that means? I've heard it all my life, but it sounds pretty radical, but I thought I'd throw it into my notes here and be reminded of it, that we ought to be stark raving in love with God. We should be. As Christians, we are commanded to be. It says, but concerning brotherly love. When Paul says here, but concerning brotherly love, this is a beautiful thing. When he says but, he means in contrast. In contrast to what? In contrast to last Sunday. In contrast to the things that he said last week. In contrast to the lust of the flesh and sexual immorality and looseness of living, he says, but concerning brotherly love, not worldly lust, you have no need that I write to you. He says this, by the way, several times in this book, you have no need that I write to you. Why does he say it? Because it's obvious. You have no need that I write to you. It's an obvious thing. Concerning brotherly love, it's a given. And the thought here is connecting to verse 6 of last week. Just jump back a little bit to last week. Look at verse 6, chapter 4. It says that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter concerning sexual immorality. Remember, the word defraud means to reach over the fence and take fruit that's not yours. To defraud is to come against. It's to look over and loom at your family, maybe your wife, maybe, or their wife, or their children, or their husband, or their children, and you take, in a sexually immoral way, you take out of that family. That word defraud means to reach over the fence and pluck fruit that's not yours. Very serious word. He says in this verse 9, but in contrast to that, how should the church be living? Well, we should be living in brotherly love. He says, I have no need that I write to you about this. So one thing I want to look at is love makes the first move. He says, concerning this, it's an obvious thing. You ought to jot this down in your notes. There's several words given for the word love in the Greek language. Now, it's tragic in the English. I will say, I love In-N-Out Burger. I love an In-N-Out Animal Double Double. It is so good. It is so very very good. That is, I say, I love that. And then I turn to my wife and I say, don't you love this? And she says, well, yeah, I love it. And then, you know, in the morning, I say, I love you. Not to the burger, not to the fries, not to the shake. To my wife, I say, I love you, wife. I love you, hamburger. But in the Greek language, it's very, very different. We, in English, only have the word love, love, love this, love that, love, same thing, love, love, it's love, that's the way it is. In Greek, it's different. In Greek, you want to write this down, one of the meanings is the word eros. Eros, we also get the word erotic. It doesn't have to mean sexually offensive, but in our culture it does, and in the Thessalonian culture it did, and it's the word erotic, eros. It means physical love. Physical love, eros. The next word in the Greek is storge. And storge is the love that we have for our family members, our children. We storge our children. Our children storge mom and dad. It's a family love. And then there's the great divine love that God loves us with. And that's called, and you know it, it's called the word, it's called agape. And you know that word. It's God's divine love that he gives toward us. It's a love, by the way, that's yielding of self to benefit the other. It's the love that is commanded that the church love each other with, the love of God. Now, listen, we don't want a church around here where we're practicing eros. And it might be okay to have a church around here that practices storge, family love, but we need to be one toward another, agaping, loving each other in the love of God, with the love of God. It's divine, and it cannot be experienced outside God's intervention. But the word used here in this passage of Scripture, in the text that we're studying this morning, he's going to say to us that we ought to be loving more and more. We'll get to this in just a bit. Concerning brotherly love, the word brotherly love is one word in the Greek. It is philadelphia. Phile, phile, to love, brother, delphia, brother, brotherly love. It's to have the love of the brethren. And in the church, it is divinely energized by God's agape work in our hearts. It's a wonderful thing. That's why you ought to come into a church and you ought to just feel, I don't know what it is, I can't put my finger on it, but I feel the love of God in this place. People might come in and they may not even be able to put their description, they say, you know, I like it here. I can't tell you why. It could be, let's pray so, the love of God. And until they come to understand, oh, that's what I've been feeling these last couple of weeks or months, it's the love of God coming through his people. That's the greatest compliment that a church could ever have. God's divine love. Listen, God's love toward us and God's love towards others is a initiating kind of love. Listen, people, we live in a culture that says, if you love me, you give. Right? God's love says, I love you, I'm going to give to you. Tell me you love me. Love you. Tell me you love me. I love you. You know what? If that be true, then we should fall over one another trying to bless each other. But the world says, I love you, now give me. That's eros. That's love for self and self-gratification, not with God. In John 4:19, it says, we love God because he first loved us. He puts it in our hearts. But this love is initiating. God makes the first move. Look, all of us, do any of us have any friends? Can you raise your hand if you have a friend? Not all of you have been able to raise your hand. So the people around you, those you just raised your hand, should have seen that person or people who didn't raise their hand. You ought to mug them after a service with love. But if we have friends, somewhere along the line to establish a friendship, we gave. Maybe we sent them a note. Maybe we gave them a call. Maybe somehow we touched with them. And there was a bridge that was built through love. It was a gesture. And it bonded. Hey, they left a message on my phone. I'm going to call them back and talk to them. It's initiating love. That's how God's love is. While we were running around on this earth being little sinners, what did God do? He came down and initiated love toward us. Isn't that good? Isn't that great stuff? He's precious. He's wonderful that way. He wants us to be the same way. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write unto you. It's understood. It's given. One thing I want you to realize in verse 9 also is that love is assumed among the brethren. It's the uniqueness of the Christ, of Jesus, of Christianity, a message of free, offered, gift, love, forgiveness. It's free. His message to us assumes that God loves us and our witness to the world should be the same and to one another. It should be assumed. The world should be able to, isn't this sad? The world should be able to wake up this morning and say, you know what? My life stinks. I'm going to run down to this local church where I can get loved. That's the way it should be. In any church and in every church. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that God demonstrated, displayed, revealed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God initiates love. You want to be a Christian? Be a love initiator. Start it. Well, he's mean to me. Yeah, I know. Start it. Watch what happens. He doesn't like me. Love him.
What?
Yeah, to take God, it'd be a miracle. But love him. You can study Romans 12, verses 9 to 21 if you want to know more about that love that he talks about regarding our enemies. The scripture also tells us in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. It's not an option. We should love. And we'll talk about in a moment, what does it mean to love? In 1 John 3:23, the Bible says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandment. And we might say this morning, here we get down to the practicality of it all. You know what, Jack, I'm hearing this and I know that I should love. And if we ask you, and if you ask me, are you loving as a Christian? No, sure, I'm loving. But do you have that person in your life that just kind of challenges your little love department? And we'll say, you know what, I don't love him as I ought. Well, that's putting it nicely. I don't love him as I ought. Well, how ought you to love him? Well, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, you can't do this in your human nature. The Holy Spirit asks of you, if necessary, to die for him. I don't like him. Let's be honest. When we pray, Lord, help me to love my brother as I ought. It's really, the Lord, it leaves your lips like that, but it enters heaven. Lord, I can't stand this guy. He makes me sick every time I see him. I know he's a Christian. I feel convicted every time I look at his face. I should be getting along with him. He sits in front of me in the service, drives me crazy. And God says, I can deal with that. I can change your heart concerning that. Why does God do this? Why does God have him sit in front of us like that? Why does God have us meet these people? Why are we married to them, maybe somebody might say. God is developing our lives with our brothers and sisters who drive us up the wall. And I have noticed, look, in your life too, the people that have come into your life that have been really hard to handle, haven't you really benefited in the long run the most from them? You've got to pray when you see them. Oh God, here he comes. He's going to say that same thing. He's going to do it in the same tone. He'll turn his little head and he'll do his thing. And it's like, and you've acted it up five times. And then by the guy comes up, hi. And you go, hello. And he's back home praying, Lord, help Brother John. I just want to be used in his life and help him out. God brings these brothers and sisters into our lives. Not to create a war, but to chip off the rough edges of our hearts. Brotherly love, he says, I have no need that I write to you concerning it. In John 15, 12, this is what it is. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than he lay down his life for his friends, the household of faith. This word lay down in John 15 means to assume a humble posture, to bow down, to kneel down, to yield the right of way. Boy, that is unlike the world, isn't it? People, this is convicting. Jesus gives us the description of who's a believer and who's not a believer. In Matthew chapter 25, he calls the difference between the sheep and the goats. And the goats didn't respond in love. The sheep responded in love. Why? Because sheep have a certain nature. Goats have a certain nature. Why do fish swim? Because they have a nature to swim. They may travel in schools, but they don't learn how to swim. They swim by nature. How is it that a bird flies? They fly by nature. It's written inside of them to fly. It's written inside of a fish to swim. A Christian, listen, this is a blanket statement, and it's true as can be. If God dwells in us, the love of God will be abiding in us. It will not be hidden. It will be exposed, maybe a little at the start, but more and more, as we'll see soon. More and more. Why is that the case? How can we be so sure? Because you and I have a new nature. Has there been a change in your life? Can you say in the last 5 months, 5 weeks, or 50 years as a Christian, there's been a change in your life? You could almost go to the calendar and say, during this month, I can remember now, there was a change in my life. Maybe that year there was a change in my life. Can you do that? God touched your heart and put his love in you. It's a miracle. And he'll put it within you that we would lay down our lives for others. It's divine. It's not of the human nature. But we have a new nature in Christ to love one another. That's why you guys get saved. You get born again. You go back to work on Monday. And your boss walks by. I've heard this. Your boss walks by. Hi, Mr. Johnson, how are you? Good morning. Oh, good morning. He's never said good morning to me before. Listen, don't think they don't recognize and they don't notice. They notice. And then you don't get the raise that you thought you were going to get. Oh, hey, thanks a lot, you guys. I'm glad to have a job. Very glad to have a job. Thank you. Listen, all they hear is complaining. Listen, man, your boss gives you something. He gives you a notice. Thank you, boss. I just know you're doing your job. Even if you don't deserve it. Jesus, as great as your reward in heaven when even you're wronged and you shouldn't have been wronged. Jesus says you have a reward in heaven. Come on, let's get the eternal perspective. God is in love with us, and he's going to reward us if we show his love to others. And it's God's nature in us. It's the way he does it. God is good. In fact, Genesis 18:25, I love this verse. It says there, Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do good, do right? Well, the answer is yes, of course he will. God's goodness. It says here, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase. Look at verse 10. It says in verse 10, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and you might want to just jot down in love. That's what he's talking about, that you abound more and more in love. And we're talking about people loving one another and loving those who are against us. Can you right now select somebody in your mind? Don't shout their name out. Don't write it down. Can you think of somebody right now that you basically don't like at all? That's the person God wants you to show Christian love toward right now. And that's it. Jesus, help me to love him. You see, it's not our option, Christian. Are we Christians? We must show them love. None of us like to hear it. I know these last couple of weeks haven't been comfortable regarding what Paul's saying to the church. It's because he wants a church ready for the rapture. He wants to have a church with a banner out in front, rapture ready. And he's talking about practical things in life. We're to be good.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Live. Thanks for listening today. And if God is in us and with us, love will shine through us in all that we do. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? There's a lot of content there. Pastor Jack is great on the radio, and you're going to love him on YouTube, too. You're really going to enjoy what we've got up there at the YouTube website. Now, all you got to do is go to YouTube and search Real Life Jack Hibbs. You don't even have to put that word with in there. Real Life Jack Hibbs at YouTube. And just look what we've got. We've got interviews, clips from sermons, special online-only content, entire sermons available, really lots of content that has to do with a whole bunch of different subjects. If you've got a question, you might find the answer you need right there at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life. You'll find Pastor Jack Hibbs right there. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.